Hey, this is DeRay, and welcome to Bots Save the People. This is a bonus episode specifically in response to the election of Doug Jones in Alabama. I'm talking to Tom Perez, the chair of the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, because I wanted to get his thoughts on what happened in this last election, what the party's doing to help candidates, and what we can learn from this moving forward.
I wanted to use Alabama to make sure we sent a very clear message to African-American communities that we know we have fallen short as a party in the past. We've taken you for granted. We show up at the church every 4th October, but we've got to be there and making a meaningful difference every single day.
Let's go. Tom, thanks so much for joining us on Bots Save the People.
Hey, it's great to be with you and your listeners, Dre.
Now, as the chair of the DNC, the DNC historically has gotten a lot of flack for not being involved in sort of on-the-ground races, for not taking black voters seriously. Wanted to talk to you about Alabama, because this is a special pod about Alabama. I wanted to start, though, with your time at the DOJ in the Shelby case. Can you talk about your involvement with that and how that might have influenced the way you think about voting?
Sure. Well, I've spent a lot of time in Alabama over the course of my career as a civil rights lawyer, and frankly, Alabama was a full employment act for civil rights lawyers. Their voter ID law was one of the most restrictive in the country. And the goal of it was not subtle. It was to make it harder for people of color to vote. The Shelby County case, which for your listeners, that was the case in which the United States Supreme Court in 2013 struck down the heart of the Voting Rights Act. And it gave a permission slip for states like Alabama to do terrible things on voting. The voter ID law that Texas and Alabama and other places passed would never have been allowed if Section 5 approval was still required. In Arizona, after the Shelby case, they dramatically cut down the number of polling places, not surprisingly, in communities of color. And the 2016 primary, there was a debacle as a result of that. If Section 5 were still around, that would not have happened because we wouldn't have allowed it to happen. So these issues for me are very, very personal. And that's why, DeRay, we invested almost $1 million in Alabama, because I've known Doug Jones since we worked together in the Clinton Justice Department doing civil rights work. And Alabama is kind of ground zero for a lot of this civil rights work. And I wanted to make sure that we left it all on the table. And that's exactly what we did there. And I couldn't be more thrilled, not just for Doug, but for the people of Alabama who deserve leadership that's fighting for them.
I didn't know that you knew Doug Jones for a long time. That's interesting.
Doug, if I could just take a moment to talk to your listeners about the Doug I know, because Doug is the real deal. When we were together, there was what we called a cold case unit in the Justice Department. It was a unit that investigated legacy civil rights crimes. When I came back in 2009, one of the cases that we worked on, and I personally went down to Mississippi to see if we could find enough evidence, was the Mississippi burning, the killing of the three civil rights workers. And we weren't able to get enough evidence in that case. But Doug was able, working with a bunch of federal law enforcement, to uncover sufficient evidence to prosecute two men who had literally gotten away with murder for decades. People often say Doug Jones' office prosecuted this second chapter of the 16th Street bombing. And I correct people when I hear that. Doug Jones personally prosecuted that case. And justice was undeniably delayed for the victims and their families, but it wasn't denied. And that's the Doug Jones I know. He is a person who is a person of faith, who puts his faith into action every day. He believes that everybody who works a full-time job should be able to live a stress-free life. He believes that racial justice can never be realized in America until we understand our history of discrimination and live the values of inclusion every single day. He understands that we should be building more schools and not more prisons. And those are the things he's worked on. And that's why I was honored to work with him. And what I'm most proud of at the DNC, DeRay, is not simply that we invested this amount of money, but we got in very, very early. We got in well before anyone knew, frankly, who Doug Jones was. We got in when the money wasn't rolling in for him. And that was when it was most important, because I've always believed in Doug, and I firmly believe that Democrats can win in every single state. And I wanted to use Alabama to make sure we sent a very clear message to African-American communities that we know we have fallen short as a party in the past. We've taken you for granted. We show up at the church every 4th October, but we've got to be there and making a meaningful difference every single day. And I wanted to make sure, as DNC chair, and as frankly someone who will always self-identify as a civil rights lawyer and a labor activist, I wanted to make sure we put those values into action in Alabama and everywhere else. And I'm proud of the work we did, but I'm much more proud of the voters of Alabama, who sent a message that it isn't about right versus left, it's about right versus wrong.
Now, when you say the DNC invested $1 million, what was that investment in? Can you help people understand what that actually meant? Was it canvassers? Was it ads? Was it mailings? Was it all of the above? Was it something we don't know?
Sure. No, it was all of the above and then some. I mean, again, Alabama hasn't sent a Democrat statewide in over a quarter century. And so what we did was, we invested big time in Alabama. And the investments were all about making sure that we mobilize and organize in the African-American community, organize and mobilize with millennials and faith leaders. And one thing we did was we did it quietly, but we did it unmistakably. I learned from my trials down in Alabama that people from Washington shouldn't walk in there in a conspicuous way, pretending that they're in charge. Team Jones was in charge, and our goal was to help him. And we had a spectacular team. Our director of African American outreach is a wonderful leader, Joaquinia Clanton, and she was. One of the things we do under Joaquinia's leadership is we make sure that we are listening to folks in the front line. So we worked very closely with faith leaders in Alabama, with local elected officials, with Terry Sewell, who's the wonderful congresswoman from Alabama. We made sure that we understood what they needed. And we worked with the campaign to figure out where were the holes. And so here's what we did. We placed organizers on the ground, and all of our organizers were from the community. We had about 30 staff on the ground. Every organizer we had was an organizer of the community, because I am a big believer in homegrown organizers. And one of the things that's great about that is these are organizers who, after the campaign is over, they go right back into their communities, and we're going to continue to use them so that we can win even more. So we had organizers on the ground. We worked very closely with, again, student mobilizers on campuses, because there's a 24, 25 colleges where we had real opportunities. We were a heavy presence in Alabama A&M, for instance, because there was real opportunity there. We invested in African-American consultants who helped us do an even better job and know the community. So, for instance, a woman named Sheila Tyson of STD Consulting, she's from Birmingham. She knows Birmingham. And for your listeners, Birmingham and the broader area in Jefferson County, Alabama, that's a real voter-rich community. And so she led African American women outreach and mobilization there. We hired another consultant, Antoine and Matthew Seawright, to lead the mobilization in faith communities in the Black Belt region. We hired another guy, Patrick Grayson of EcoLogic, to help drive turnout in northern Alabama, the Huntsville region. Has some real opportunities there. And we deployed a lot of technology. We run this SMS texting program, because as you know, Duray, you know, today's generation, you consume your news on your smartphone. We need to communicate with everyone on the smartphones. And we actually texted over 1 million voters. And just about every African-American who was an eligible voter who has a cell phone got at least one text that was initiated from the DNC. It was a really important tool. And so we put all these tools to bear, and we did a lot of door knocking and all those very, very important but below the radar screen things that are the keys to success. And that's why I'm proud to have played a role. But the most important person was Doug Jones and the voters of Alabama, who understood that Doug is working for them. And Roy Moore just wants to fight culture wars.
And what did you think about the exit polling that showed that black men and women voted overwhelmingly for Doug, and white women and men voted overwhelmingly for Roy Moore? What did you make of that?
Well, the African-American, I mean, the Alabama results are, again, another illustration of the fact that African-American women are the backbone of the Democratic Party. I mean, 98% of African-American women were for Doug. I think it was 93% of African-American men were for Doug. Doug Jones outperformed Barack Obama with African-American voters. I never thought that could happen. That exceeded my expectations. And that is a remarkable tribute. Doug Jones won women by 16 or 17%. And that is on the strength of African-American women. So that is remarkable. African-American women, you know, made up 17% of the electorate. So that is, again, what it illustrates to me is we must, and we did this in Virginia, where we did a lot of outreach in African-American communities, not just to help Ralph Northam, but helping people running for the House of Delegates. We worked with consultants from the African-American community who know how to mobilize and win. And we were very successful in Virginia. Just last week in Atlanta, we helped Keisha Lance Bottoms become the next mayor of Atlanta. And we did a lot of targeted outreach there. That was a big difference maker. And we've seen a number of other African-Americans win mayoral races. The new mayor of Charlotte, North Carolina, is a spectacular person, and we were really honored to help Vi win that race. And so we've got to keep investing, and we have to understand as a party that the African-American community is a linchpin to our success. And again, I reiterate what I said earlier, which is it was abundantly clear to me that we fell short in our outreach and engagement in not just the African-American community, but other communities of color. And we just all too frequently took these communities for granted. And that's a shame on us moment. And that's something that from the moment I've gotten here, we have worked to change. And we've got to earn people's trust back. And we've got to make sure we organize early, organize everywhere. And we've got to, as importantly as ever, we've got to fight for the things that matter in communities. And that's why fighting for healthcare, fighting for good jobs, fighting for civil rights fairness, fighting for inclusion, that's what we've got to do. That's been my career, Duray, and that's what I'm trying to do here at the DNC, is to make sure we're electing Democrats so that we can continue to put those values into action.
Hey, you're listening to Pod Save the People. Don't go anywhere. There's more to come. What do you say to people who say that the DNC is taking black voters for granted, didn't really show up in Alabama until too late, and that it just pays lip service to black communities and doesn't actually do the work? What do you say to those people?
Well, if you look at what we did, I just ask them to look at what we did in Alabama. You know, we were one of the earliest entities in there. We understood. Again, I got in there early because I've known Doug for 20 years, and I also know Alabama. I have faith in the Alabama voters. I think there are so many voters in Alabama who understand that I want to look forward. I want an Alabama that isn't perceived as a backwater. The days of George Wallace should be in the history books. And Roy Moore was trying to put them into today's news. And I understood that we could win in Alabama, but we had to get out there and organize. And because Democrats had lost so many races for so many years, our organizing infrastructure, the party infrastructure, wasn't where it needed to be. And that's why we got in. We were in well before the end of the Republican primary, and it wasn't going to matter who won the primary for us. Was I rooting for Roy Moore to win the Republican primary? Yeah, I was, because I thought he would be the best candidate to beat in the general election. But I thought Doug Jones could compete with anyone who won in that Republican primary. And I wanted to make sure that we connected early and often with African-American voters and told them and proved to them and earned their trust and their support. And that's what we did there. That's what we did in Virginia. That's what we've done in mayor's races across the country. And that's what the new DNC is about, taking no one for granted, engaging people in every zip code, making sure we lead with our values. We've got work to do. I understand that. But if you look at the results and you look at what we have done in 2017, I think we've made some real progress.
Are there any elections coming up that we should be paying attention to?
Well, 2018 obviously has tremendous opportunities in the U.S. House, the U.S. Senate, governor's races, a number of critical state legislatures that are in play. I think the challenge for us is that we need to take what we've seen, take this energy that's out there, take the model that we've put in place. And our model is simple. Field great candidates, organize early, organize everywhere, use technology to our advantage to connect with voters and to work with our friends in the ecosystem, that indivisible chapter that might not have a chief technology officer. We've been working with chapters so that we can help them get out the vote. And when we lead with our values, I think we can succeed everywhere. And so there's a lot of opportunity. And I come to you today with optimism, because we've seen that there's energy out there, and we've been able to translate it. And the we is not just the DNC. The we is everybody working together. When we're united, DeRay, we are at our best. And we saw that in Virginia. We saw it in Alabama. And unity doesn't mean unanimity. It doesn't mean we have to agree on every single issue, because we're not. But what I think unity underscores is that understanding that what unites us far exceeds what our differences are. And when we understand and internalize that and live that, that's how we win, because I'm seeing the energy everywhere, and I'm confident that we can scale it up next year. And we're going to continue to organize and mobilize in communities and build on the success that we saw in Alabama and Virginia and take it elsewhere.
And how can people stay tuned with what the DNC is doing, or how can they get involved? How can they volunteer or make phone calls or whatever?
Democrats.org, www.democrats.org. Our volunteer pool has increased substantially. We, in Virginia, just by way of example, we ran what's called the Out of the Commonwealth program. We mobilized all the efforts from out of state to help people up and down the ticket in Virginia to win. So we had students on 60 different campuses doing phone banking. We had buses coming in every weekend. And now in the months ahead, we need volunteers to help with voter registration efforts. We need volunteers. There's still a few special elections. There's a special election coming up in early 2018, for instance, in Western Pennsylvania, House District 18, I believe it is, to replace a member of Congress, a Republican who resigned after a scandal. We have an opportunity there. So if your listeners are in Pennsylvania and want to get engaged there, a real opportunity there. So www.democrats.org. We welcome not only your volunteer help, but we also welcome your input. because we want to make sure that we're working for you. We want to make sure we're putting our best foot forward, and we want to know what people think.
And where can people go to follow you? Are you on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook?
All at Tom Perez. Twitter, very easy to do. And look forward to it. The list has been growing.
I love it.
So I'm humbled by that. And we really, again, I one of the things I've learned from my jobs over the years, DeRay, is that good leaders must be good listeners. And I hope, and I feel like I've learned so much from the outreach I've done this year. And we've had some challenging conversations, but they're conversations that needed to happen because we had fallen short in so many ways. And I want to make sure that people understand that you know, we're here to serve and we're here to learn and we're here to make sure we win. And we want to win together.
Perfect. And the last question will be, you know, there's so many people who feel like they have made calls, they've canvassed, they've been to protests, and nothing has changed. That they're people who feel like hope is waning in these moments. What do you say to those people?
Oh, I feel like we are turning a corner here. I say, look at the results in 2017, and not just in Alabama earlier this week, but look at Virginia and New Jersey earlier in November. Look at all these mayor's races around the country, quite frankly, not just Atlanta, Charlotte, but, you know, in rural Montana, an African-American was elected mayor in a city there. I look at state races. We have flipped over 30 seats in state special elections in beat red territories and elsewhere from red to blue. I feel like we are turning a corner. People have awakened and said very clearly, democracy will no longer be a spectator sport for me. They're getting involved. This is not the first time in our nation's journey to form a more perfect union that we have been confronted with forces like Donald Trump, who want to divide America, who want to put the fear of God into people. And every other time this has happened, the way we have turned this around is through that most important word in a democracy, and it's a simple two-letter word, we the people. It's what enabled us you know, to win the civil rights struggle. It's what enabled us to win the struggle for the right to vote, the suffragette movement, Stonewall. Everything we have fought for in this country, we've had to fight hard, and it hasn't always been linear. The shortest distance theory takes a beating. But quite frankly, Donald Trump wants people to cower in a corner and to give up. And what I've seen across America is exactly the opposite. People who are energized, taking our country back, saying very clearly that our diversity is exactly what has made America great and what will always make America great. And so I'm inspired by this. And my role as head of the Democratic National Committee is to make sure we channel this energy that's out there into concrete victories at the ballot box. I feel like we've made real progress in 2017, but we've got a tall mountain still to climb, and the summit is not yet in sight. But I think the plan is there to get there. And the plan, the instrumental component of the indispensable component of the plan is people listening to this podcast, getting involved and staying involved. And doing what John Lewis often said, which is, I'm causing good trouble. I'm building a more perfect union. That's what he did. And that's what we're going to do, is build a more perfect union. When we win elections, good things happen to good people. That's why I took this job, because I knew that we could win elections if we led with our values and we organized and we fielded good candidates and we acknowledged our errors so that we could learn from them. And we're doing just that. So get out there, stay engaged, organize, mobilize. That's how we win.
Awesome. I appreciate you making time, Tom. And thanks so much. I'll see you out there in the streets.
Amen. Thank you. And have a great holiday for everybody.
Well, thanks so much for listening to this bonus pod of Pod Save the People. Hope to see you back on Tuesday when the pod regularly drops. Make sure that you tell a friend. Make sure you rate it on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And I will see you on Tuesday.